Well, good morning. This is Barry O'Dell with the Church of Christ at Mammoth Spring Facebook page. It is Tuesday morning, January 16th, 2023. Hope everybody's doing all right today. We're back. Didn't go live yesterday. Had another engagement, but we're back this morning studying the intertestamental period. Brian, Deborah, Lyle, Connie, good to see all of you and others who are joining on the stream as always. If you have any questions or comments, put them in the comments section, and I will acknowledge them when I see them. Today we're going to spend some time in Daniel, chapters 10 and 11, and I titled this video, The Most Explicit Prophecy in Scripture. And I really believe that to be the case. We started looking at it the other day, and we're going to go further into it this morning. Hello, Patrice. Good to see you. And it is in regard to a vision, obviously, that Daniel saw and that is explained to him throughout chapter 11 and on into chapter 12. When you read the book of Daniel, you need to realize it's not in chronological order and there are like units to it. So I think Daniel chapters 10, 11, and 12 are one unit. It's all continuous. And as I've said many times on the stream, sometimes the chapter and verse breakups in our English Bibles are not at all helpful. And I think you'll kind of see that today as we go into this. So I've got a PowerPoint up on the screen so you can, if you're watching on a computer or something, it's easier to see. But there's a lot of history that we're going to talk about over the next couple of videos that is extra-biblical. Okay, you can't go to a biblical text and find everything that we are going to talk about. However, and I meant to do this, there are several links that I can share. And I think I'll just put them in the comment section after the live stream is over. Several links that I can share that will greatly aid you in your study of this, because this was a requested study, this intertestamental period. It's not something an idea that I came up with on my own necessarily, but several of you requested it. So I will share some links. I think the website's something like World History, but anyway, extremely helpful in your gaining knowledge about the intertestamental period. And seeing the fulfillments of Daniel's prophecy here. So let's get started here. Daniel chapter 10. And we're certainly not going to get all the way through chapter 11. But I've got my Bible here. I've got the PowerPoint up on the screen. And again, that'll just be helpful for you if you're watching. Now, if you're just listening to the audio podcast on our Podbean channel, well, that won't do much good to you or good for you. Hey, Wayne, over on the Near Churches page. Good to see you. All right. So Daniel chapter 10, you'll notice the title up here, Daniel 10, Persia, and Greece. So this chapter starts off, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel. Now that's going to be approximately 536 to 535 BC. And this is fulfillment of prophecy or part of fulfillment of other prophecies. Isaiah chapters 44 and 45 tell us of this king of Persia by the name of Cyrus, who would permit the Jews to return to their homeland, etc. And we see that fulfilled at the end of 2 Chronicles 36. And then as you open the book of Ezra chapter 1 there, talks about all of this stuff. So anyway, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long. And that's a significant phrase there. There are several significant phrases, and I'm going to point them out as we go through here, but the appointed time was long. Daniel chapters 10, 11, and 12 emphasize time. Talks about the time of the end. There are multiple references to the appointed time, which indicates, and we'll talk about that as we go through the text here, indicates that God is still in control. There's a lot of history playing out throughout Daniel chapters 10, 11, and 12. But God is always in control. It's according to His appointed time. So you see that right there in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 1. In those days, I, Daniel, verse 2, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, nor no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So Daniel sees, hey, Miss Janie, good to see you. Daniel sees some things that trouble him, even to the point of fasting and I would say considerable prayer, obviously, as that's revealed in the text here, that he is praying. So let me pull some things up here on the PowerPoint, and we'll get started with that. Obviously, a vision received. I've already told you the date, approximately 535 BC, but it's going to be fulfilled many years in the future. Now, this is important, and this, again, this is one of those phrases. Not only do you have the phrase appointed time and the phrase time of the end, but you also have this phrase, and this is Daniel chapter 10 and verse 14. It says, "Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come." Whatever Daniel's seeing here in these last three chapters, because chapters 10, 11, and 12 are, it's all the same vision, it's all the same explanation, okay? It's specifically about the Jewish people. Daniel, this vision is about your people, all right? We need to understand that, because so many people look at the book of Daniel and they at times kind of treat it like the book of Revelation, like it's stuff that's still future for us today, and it's not. It's not at all. I told you a couple of videos ago that all the prophecies within the book of Daniel are going to be fulfilled between his days, okay, Babylon, Persia, when Daniel was alive, and the fourth kingdom that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his vision and that Daniel sees in his multiple visions, and that's a reference to Rome. That's the way we can bracket, if you will, the time of the book of Daniel. Babylon to Rome. And it's always about, as he says there in Daniel 10 and verse 14, your people. All right, that would be a reference to the Jewish people. But it's about Persia, verse 13. So let me go ahead and read that since I've got it up here. Daniel 10, 13. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone with the kings of Persia." And then Greece, Daniel chapter 10 and verse 20. "Do you know what I have come? Why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come." Now, I'm not commenting necessarily right now on what all of that implies. The prince of Persia, the prince of Greece, the prince of your people, Michael the archangel, we know that that is what he is called in Scripture in, what is it, the book of Jude, verse 9. So, there is a lot to consider in these texts. But as we read Daniel chapter 11, and I would say even on into chapter 12, but more so chapter 11, we're talking about in this chapter the intertestamental period. So we're going to move on into Daniel chapter 11. We're going to lay some things out, but we're only going to go so far today because there is so much content in this chapter. So this message, remember, it's coming in the third year of King Cyrus of Persia, approximately 535 BC. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 1 tells us that. Now, as you continue reading here, Daniel 10 and verse 21 says, "But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth." Now, that could be a reference. I kind of think it's a reference to what's already been revealed to Daniel, because so many things have been revealed to him already. Whether you're talking about the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 2, or his own visions starting in Daniel chapter 7, there are things that have already been revealed to him. And so I tend to lean towards this idea that Daniel 10 and verse 21 is referencing what Daniel has already seen, what Daniel has already written. And then it says in parentheses, "No one upholds me against them except Michael, your prince." So here again, you have this reference to what you might call the, Paul uses this phrase in Ephesians five or six times, the heavenly places. All right, so we are, as humans, we are limited to this realm of existence, this realm of experience. But there is another realm of existence, a spiritual realm, if you will, and Scripture refers to it on many occasions. And I think Daniel, the book of Daniel here, does it, and repeatedly, about these princes of these different areas, Persia, Greece, the Jews, your people, as we just read there in chapter 10 and verse 21. So that whoever this angel is, revealing this message to Daniel about his people, about what will happen to them many days in the future. Now, Daniel chapter 12 tells us that that he's going to be dead when all of this comes to pass. And that's certainly true because it's a few hundred years later. Connie says, is Michael speaking of himself when he says, I will tell you? I said the other day, I think I said the name Gabriel. But as you look at the text here, Daniel 10 and verse 21, but I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince. I don't think so, in other words. This is some other messenger. This messenger in Daniel chapter 10 is not named. Some people think it's Gabriel because Gabriel has already communicated with Daniel. But the fact of the matter is, he remains unnamed. So I suppose that will answer your question. So this message comes in the third year of Cyrus. And this is what he tells him. So as you, again, 10, 11, and 12 are one unit. No one upholds me against these, the princes of Persia, the princes of Greece, except Michael. The statement continues right into chapter 11, except Michael, your prince, also in the first year of Darius the Mede, I stood up to confirm and strengthen him. And now I will tell you the truth. So if you notice, and my Bible does this, I don't know, my King James is over there. My New King James does this. Chapter 10 and verse 21 is it starts a parenthetical statement and it goes all the way through chapter 11 and verse 1. If some of you are looking at a different version, tell me if your Bible does that too. Anyway, Daniel 11 verse 2 says, and now I will tell you the truth. Behold, three more kings will arise in Persia. Well, if Cyrus is the king currently in Persia, he says three more will arise after him, and then a fourth one will arise after him. So who are we talking about? Well, again, even history can, secular history, okay, extra-biblical history confirms all of this for us. You've got a king that comes in by the name of Cambyses after Cyrus. He reigns from 529 to 522. After Cambyses is a man by the name of Smerdis, 522 to 521. And after him comes Darius the Great, and he reigned from 521 to 486. Now, thinking biblically just for a second, you look at those dates, and that still fits within the time frame of Scripture. You know, the book of Malachi would be after this. Some of the events in Ezra and Nehemiah are after this, and Esther are after the dating that's given to us here. Okay, so that's verse 2. Three more kings shall arise in Persia. But then it says, and the fourth shall be far richer than them all. The only king that can be a reference to is, and he's got a couple of different names, Xerxes or Ahasuerus. This is the king of the book of Esther. All right, and so you'll notice here that Daniel is told that this fourth king shall be richer, far richer than them all. By his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Greece. So let me just do this real quick to show you how we can make this connection in the Bible. This fourth king of Persia, he's richer than them all. I'm turning back to the book of Esther, and we're going to read just a couple of verses there, and then we'll get right back to Daniel. Esther chapter 1, it says, now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, this was the Ahasuerus who reigned over 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia. In those days when King Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the citadel, that in the third year of his reign he made a feast for all of his officials and servants, the powers of Persia and Media. So there you go, Persia and Media. That's Daniel's alive during the initial stages, let's say, of the Persian and Median kingdom. The nobles, the princes, the princes of the provinces being before him, when he showed them the riches of his glorious kingdom and the splendor of his excellent majesty for many days, 180 days in all. So, Daniel chapter 11, Cyrus, three more kings after him, and a fourth king who's going to be far richer than them all. And I got a couple comments. Shirley Berry, good morning to see you. Cold 32 and sunny. Well, glad you're with us. Do I have a chronological listing of the books of the Bible? Connie, I do. And I'll have to find it. It's in my computer somewhere. But that is a very beneficial thing to have. Anyway, back to Daniel chapter 11. Listen to what it says about this king, this fourth king who's far richer than them all. It says, he shall stir up all against the realm of Greece. Well, is there anything in history that can help us figure out who that is? Here's a quote that I found on one of those websites. And like I said, I'm going to share those websites with you in the comment section here. You can do this reading for yourself. I suppose we could dive into it here, but it would make our series of videos a whole lot longer and probably a whole lot deeper than some people care to go. But anyway, here's a quote. His attack on Greece in 480 BC spelled the beginning of the decline of the empire. Again, this is not a biblical student who's writing this article where I found this quote. This is just a person noting the events of history. And Daniel chapter 11, quite a long time before it happens, says he's going to be far richer than the kings who preceded him, and he's going to stir up everybody against Greece. And history plays that out for us and records it for us. So you begin reading in Daniel chapter 11, just pulling some things up here. All right, so he's going to do that. Ahasuerus of Esther, Xerxes the first. Here's Daniel chapter 11 and verse 3. Then a mighty king shall arise who shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And when he has arisen, his kingdom shall be broken up and divided toward the four winds of heaven, but not among his posterity, nor according to his dominion with which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be uprooted even for others beside him. The fourth king of Persia, very rich, stirs up everybody against Greece. I've already noted that. This mighty king, and the interesting thing is, I've got a lot of books on the book of Daniel, and I've read a lot of secular history about these events. The only person I can't remember reading anybody, whether it's a biblical commentary or history, who says this is someone other than Alexander the Great. Ahasuerus has stirred up everybody against Greece. As we just noted from that historian, that was kind of the beginning of the downfall of the Persian Empire. This mighty king, his kingdom is going to be divided among the four winds. Everybody agrees. I'm going to use that word. Everybody agrees that this is Alexander the Great, the son of Philip of Macedon. And there's so much written in history about him that you can read. But the interesting thing is, so here in Daniel chapter 11, it talks about his kingdom being divided up among the four winds of heaven. So I've got a couple of references here that I want us to look at. Daniel chapter 7. Now this is Daniel's vision of the four beasts that arose out of the great sea. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 6 talks about a third beast. It looks like a leopard. And I looked at this verse the other day, but just by way of reminder. Looks like a leopard. He had four wings on its back, and the beast had four heads, and dominion was given unto it. Four winds, four wings, four heads. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 8. This is another vision of Daniel. Verse 8, the male goat grew very great, but when he became strong, the large horn was broken, and in place of it, four notable ones. So, again, four wings, four heads, four winds, four horns. This king that would come after Ahasuerus, who's so great and powerful. Connie asked, that was Alexander's four commanders, wasn't it? Yes, it was. And again, these articles are extremely detailed, and it takes a bit of time to read them. And the interesting thing is, I don't know about you guys, but when I start reading stuff like that, I start looking at links for other things, because in these articles, the words are, let's say, in black letter. Well, then there'll be a name or a city or something like that that's highlighted in blue. Well, you click on that link and it takes you to something else that makes you dive even deeper into history. So the reading can take you quite a bit of time. Alexander the Great lived from 356 to 323 BC. And he reigned from 336. Became king. I guess that's the best way for us to say it or think of it. When he was 20 years old, reigned for approximately 13 years. Again, died at the age of 32 or 33. The question then is, well, what are these four heads, four winds, four horns, and four wings that Daniel talks about in three different passages, that this great empire is going to be broken up. Alexander has generals. Now, I wish I had a... I showed you a map the other day, and I actually meant to put one in here this morning, and I forgot to do it, but whatever the case may be, I'll do it tomorrow. Alexander's generals over different regions of his empire. And again, when you read the, you know, leaving the Bible out of the discussion, when you read the secular history, everybody's in agreement here. There might be different spellings of the names, but the names of the kings anyway, but or emperors or generals, but everybody's in agreement that this is how it happened. This is how history played out. And so if Daniel is writing, as he notes in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 1, that it's about 535 BC, and if Alexander the Great didn't live till 350, we're looking at a 200-year gap here. 200 years prior to all of these events, Daniel is prophesying specifically about what's going to happen in the kingdom of Greece. And that's why I titled this video, The Most Explicit Prophecy in Scripture. All right, so here are the four generals. Lysimachus over Thrace, Antipater over Macedonia, Seleucus over Syria, and the Ptolemies over Egypt. Now, looking in our text here at Daniel chapter 11, well, I'm in Daniel chapter 9, that's not going to do me any good. In Daniel chapter 11, let's see. Okay, so we read verse 4. Okay, the kingdom's going to be divided up, or broken up and divided toward the four winds of heaven. And then it says this, but not among his posterity. Okay, it's not going to be his family. It's going to be his generals. Not according to his dominion with which he ruled. So these separate powers that come in, they're not going to be as, you might say, ambitious, militarily minded. He was unique, and nobody's going to match up with his veracity, let's say it that way. For his kingdom shall be uprooted even for others besides these. So you've got these four generals, but as you start reading in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 5, it focuses on two. The north, the king of the north, and the king of the south. And that's where we'll probably start digging more into tomorrow. Yeah, that's the last one. That's the point I have here for today. But I wanted to throw those names out to you so you would be familiar with it, of Alexander's generals and who they were. And you start reading in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 5. And the king of the south, also the king of the south. Now, in terms of the Grecian Empire, in terms of Alexander's exploits, let's say, that's a reference to Egypt. And again, I wish I had that map up here. I'll take care of that tomorrow. But the king of the south is a reference to Egypt, if you make, or the Ptolemies. Let's use that word because that's who it was. The Ptolemaic Empire of Egypt. All right? They shall become strong, as well as one of his princes, and he shall gain power over him and have dominion. His dominion shall be great. And at the end of some years, they shall join forces. For the daughter of the king of the south shall go to the king of the north to make an agreement. Now you've got marriages among these different generals trying to unify the Grecian Empire, let's say. The focus in the rest of Daniel chapter 11 is on the Seleucid Empire of Syria, the king of the north, and the Ptolemaic Empire of Egypt, the king of the south. And it goes down, so much history is here. And Daniel, and I keep saying the word Daniel, this message is being revealed to Daniel by an angel. But of course, we understand, those of us who believe, how do you say it, believe in God, believe that the Bible is the Word of God, we also understand that Daniel's writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. All right, we don't take that, or we shouldn't take that for granted. All right, he's not just writing these things down haphazardly. He's being directed by the Holy Spirit in the communication of these events. But it goes in time order. Now, there are no specific names given through the rest of this chapter, but the events that are recorded that happen, okay, so like the king of the south making an agreement with the king of the north, and it says, but she shall not retain the power of her authority. you begin to see intermarriages between the Ptolemies and the Seleucids, again, trying to unify power, unify the kingdom. And Daniel traces this with quite amazing accuracy. He's very meticulous in his writing, but again, he's not writing on his own. He's writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So here's what I want to do. I want to stop here because, I'm throwing all these names up here. Seleucus, Ptolemy. Those are what you might call the dynastic names, okay? The Ptolemaic Empire, the Seleucid Empire. But there are individuals that fall under those categories. And there are times of their reigns. And I want to be able to put that up there, or I'm going to put that up there, show you those dates, show you those names, and follow the events of secular history as it's recorded here in Daniel chapter 11 in order. Now, one thing I want to point out before we close today, let's see, Daniel chapter 11. All right, so for instance, Daniel 11:14. It says, "Now in these times, many shall rise up against the king of the south, Egypt. Also, violent men of your people shall exalt themselves in fulfillment of the vision, but they shall fall." So throughout Daniel chapter 11, you're going to see that, the reference to your people. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 20, let's see here, verse 27, it talks about the end will be at the appointed time. Verse 29, at the appointed time he shall return. Down into verse 35. So, kind of laying those things out as we're moving forward into intertestamental period. So let's go ahead and stop there for today. Tomorrow we're going to start talking about the Seleucids and the Ptolemies, the times of their reigns, the events that Daniel enumerates here, and kind of put it all together, let's say, to help us understand exactly what Daniel's talking about. So I guess let's stop there for today. We've been going for almost 30 minutes, but it's been good to start laying out the case. Good to see all of you on here today. I don't see any further questions or comments. So come back tomorrow at 11 o'clock, and we'll really start nailing this down and trying to figure out what we're dealing with, the specific dates and events that are prophesied here in Daniel chapter 11. So, guys, I appreciate you being here today. I hope you have a good rest of your day. Hope you're staying warm. It's still pretty chilly here in Mammoth. I don't know if it's in the... It's supposed to get in the 20s, I think, today, but appreciate y'all being here, and hope you have a good day, and hope to see you back here tomorrow at 11 o'clock, and we'll pick right up where we stopped here in Daniel chapter 11, and we'll start in verse 5. Have a good day.